I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You remember that Billy used this as his text last week, and I said that I'd already chosen it for today and for next Sunday as well. And Ian has already mentioned that he didn't want to jump ahead because it's Palm Sunday today, but I'm actually going to be jumping ahead because of our restrictions and not able to meet twice on a Sunday as it would be next week twice. We're going to look at both the death of the Lord Jesus Christ today and the resurrection next Sunday. Let's just read those verses from 1 Corinthians 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. Verse 3 again. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. In these verses, which perhaps we know quite well, we find that Paul stresses to the Corinthian church that what happened that weekend 2,000 years ago, which we today call Easter, is of the first importance. That is, that what Paul has to say to them in these verses is of vital importance. It is top priority. And I want to suggest that there is an urgency about these things that Paul considers of first importance. For it is of first importance in regards to Christianity. For what he has to tell them is the bedrock of what leads to a person becoming a Christian and of what Christianity is all about. It is of first importance to the church that he was writing to, but I want to say this morning that it is also of first importance regarding the whole world. That is, all the people of the world, regardless of class, regardless of color, regardless of status, regardless of ethnicity, regardless of race, regardless of whether they're Jew or Gentile. These things are of first importance. It's an interesting fact that although a large percentage of the population of the world doesn't profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, every single one, every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl is governed by the fact that Jesus came into the world and lived and died and rose again. It was such a significant and such an important weekend or process of events that everything is dated according to it. Hence, we use the terms today of BC or AD. So my date of birth is based upon his coming into this world. So the 13th of the 2nd, 1960, means not only that that was my birth date, but it actually means as well that I was born 1,960 years after the Lord Jesus came into this world and lived and died. So everyone is affected by this thing, regardless of whether they believe in the Lord Jesus or not. And when Paul says that what he has to say to them is of first importance, he is saying that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is of first importance. That is, how he died and why he died is important. And he's also saying that the resurrection of Jesus is also of first importance. That is, how and why he was raised is important. And of course, his burial was important as well. And it also suggests that Jesus himself is important. He was a man like no other man that had ever lived before him or who has ever lived after him. And we would have to agree, when you look through history, that there have been some great men and some great women who have lived and have died, but none of them are as great as the Lord Jesus Christ. For we find that he was born under exceptional circumstances, the miraculous virgin birth. He lived under exceptional circumstances, for come the time of his trial, they tried every which way possible to find fault in him, but they couldn't. They failed on every occasion. And he died under exceptional circumstances. And of course, he was also raised under exceptional circumstances. I've already said that what Paul is talking of is of first importance because it is the bedrock of the Christian faith. And the whole spectrum concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, his coming as a babe, his living, his dying, his resurrection, and his ascension, each of these things are essential. But not only are these facts the bedrock of the Christian faith, they are also the building blocks of the Christian faith. And if you could take one of these things away, then the whole message of Christianity would crumble, it would fall, and it would fail. So these things are of the first importance. They are vital to the Christian faith. There's some other verses that we can use that clarify the importance of these things, and I've just chosen two examples, 2 Timothy 1, 8 to 10, and 1 Timothy 3, 16. And in those verses there we read this: therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And then, great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh. He was vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory. And these things are of first importance. And I'm sure that even the most ardent atheist would have to agree, based on the historical records, that there is something about this man Jesus that marks him out as being above any other man or woman who has ever lived. See, we are all born, but not with the purpose of dying, though We all will die one day. See, my parents didn't choose to have me because they wanted me to die. And Elaine and I didn't choose to have our 6 children because we want them to die. But we are born to discover life. We're born to make out of it the most we can. We're born to discover purpose and usefulness, to achieve something that may lead to a legacy we can leave for others. But this man, Jesus, the one that we're talking about today, this man, Jesus, he was actually born for the purpose of dying. Everything he did on his journey from his birth to his eventual death 33 years later was leading up to that moment, to his death. For he was purposed to die, not because he had done anything wrong, for death is the wages of sin, but because of the wrong that we had done, the wrong that you have done, the wrong that I have done, and the wrong that every man and woman has done since Adam and Eve fell way back, however long ago it was, in the Garden of Eden. He was born with the purpose of dying. And there are many verses that indicate why Jesus came into the world. For example, there's just 2 here. 1 Timothy 1:15. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. In other words, it's of importance again that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Paul says, of whom I am the foremost, and each one of us can say the same. And then Romans 5 verse 8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And we need to understand that when we say that he came into the world, we are declaring that he existed before he arrived. He came into the world from somewhere, and he came into the world from someone. And that was from heaven itself. And he came from the very presence of Almighty God. John 3:16 says, for God so loved, he gave, or he sent his only Son, so that whoever believes on him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. This also means that this man Jesus has always been. He is eternal, but he chose to come into this world as a man. He chose to leave his Father's side to die for sinners, to die for you, to die for me. We're going to go quickly to 3 scriptures, and we're going to see first of all the words of John the Baptist, then we're going to see the words of Jesus himself, and then some of the words of the Apostle Paul. And from these 3 scriptures, we will discover 3 aspects of the whole purpose of Christ's death. And I'm not going to enlarge on them this morning, just give you the headliner. First of all, from John the Baptist, we go to John chapter 1 and verse 29. And there, when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him, it says, the next day he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, look, the Lamb of God. And what is he going to do? The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then we go to John chapter 10, verse 11, and these are the words of Jesus himself. He's told them already that he's the good shepherd. And he says, I am the good shepherd. And what is the good shepherd going to do? He makes a very telling statement. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And then we move to some verses from the Apostle Paul, some verses we know very well, from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4-8. But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. So, from the words of John the Baptist, we find that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was a sacrificial death. Jesus became the Passover lamb. He was the sacrifice for our sins. From the words of Jesus himself, we see it was a substitutional death. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin on our behalf. He took our place. He laid down his life in our place. And then from the words of Paul, we see the salvific aspect of his death. It is sufficient to save the whosoever that comes believing and accepting Jesus. For by grace we have been saved, not of works, but because of what he done when he went to the cross and died for the sins of the world. And I want to introduce another scripture, another headline text for the thoughts I'm sharing both today and will continue to share next Sunday morning. Romans 4:25, and Paul is talking of what God has done and is doing through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there he says, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. That's such an important verse. He was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. See, we see from this verse very clearly that Jesus died, but we also see that he rose again. This verse helps us to understand that the purpose of God, or the plan of God, which had been foreordained before the very foundation of the world had been laid, was that Jesus would come into this world. And in coming into this world, he would live, and eventually he would be delivered or handed over to death for our sins. And so we need to understand that the cross was never an accident. The cross was never a mistake. In fact, we need to say that the cross, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, was essential and necessary because of our sins. Your sins, my sins, and the sin of the world. Therefore, we can say, he took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary, and he suffered and died alone. In the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, Peter is preaching. He's explaining what has taken place, and he says to the crowd that even though it was the cruel hands of wicked men who took Jesus and crucified him, he says it was God's plan at work. And this is what Peter says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. But God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Cruel men took him. Cruel men crucified him. But God was behind it all. Yes, it was God's plan. It was God's purpose that this man who was born to die for your sin and for my sin. And that second text, that headliner text, because I've given a lot of scriptures, Romans 4:25, also helps us further with these things that are of first or of utmost importance. It tells us, this is important. He not only died for our sins, But this is important as well. He was raised for our justification. It shows that both aspects, the death and the resurrection, are important. He did die. Amen. Thank God he did die. But thank God he was also raised. And this will be our theme as we return and continue next Sunday. Let us be glad and rejoice. As we enter this week that we call Passion Week, let us be glad and rejoice. Let us raise our hearts with gratitude and praise for the Lamb who was slain, realizing that he took our place. It was we who should have suffered and died. Us who should have suffered and died. But Jesus, God's Son, took our place. This truth is wonderful. This truth is amazing. It is of the first importance. The very fact that Jesus loved you so much, he was willing to die for you. And this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. May we love him in return by surrendering our hearts and our lives over to him. May we come in humble submission to the cross, confessing our sins and acknowledging Jesus as our Lord. There was one who was willing to die in my stead, that a soul so unworthy might live, and the path to the cross he was willing to tread, all the sins of my life to forgive. They were born on the cross. They were born on the cross. Oh, how much he was willing to bear. With what anguish and loss Jesus went to the cross, but he carried my sins with him there. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior. And this news that we have to declare this Easter weekend is news that we declare all year round. Jesus died for our sins, but he was raised for our justification. He is alive. And it is of the first and utmost importance. In other words, we can switch the television on, the radio on, we can buy the newspaper, we can listen to all the news that this world has to offer. And I have to be honest, I don't listen to a lot at this moment because I'm just a little bit fed up to my back teeth with what's going on, the criticizing of the government, with all their efforts to do the best they can in this crisis and everything. I just don't listen to it anymore. There's better news. And there's great news. There's wonderful news. There's good news that this world needs to hear. Christ Jesus died for them. Christ died for their sins and was raised for their justification. And we need to sound this news out loud and clear and make it of first importance. Text in the devotions for today is Hebrews 9:28. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. I'm really jumping the gun now, Ian. He will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Let's come to the cross. Let's allow him to be a Lord and Savior. Let's know that justification so that we're looking for that day when he's going to come a second time to take us to be with himself. It's all the first importance because it's the only good news. It's the only gospel that offers hope to fallen mankind. And my prayer is that over this week, as in some way perhaps that the eyes of this world will be turned towards the cross, they will see Jesus and see what he has done. And many will come to know him as Savior and as Lord. And if you've read the devotion today, you'll notice that I quoted a song. And in case you've never heard the song, we're going to have that song now following on from my ministry. We shall behold him. Good news. We shall behold him. Thank you.